Dear friends in Christ, welcome to our Good Friday service of worship. As you know, we're in one continuous service of worship. It begins on Palm Sunday, then through Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. And as you know, we receive the invocation on Palm Sunday, and then we receive the benediction on Easter Sunday. And even though we would like to worship together in person, given the COVID-19, we're required and it's necessary that we have virtual worship. So we're thankful that you are joining us, some of you live and some of you who will watch the service later. We begin our service today with a reading of Psalm 22. We'll read it responsively by whole verse. Our leader will have the odd verses and we'll respond with the even verses found on page 224 of the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me and are so far away from my cry and from the words of my distress?
Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer. By night as well, but I find no rest.
Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Our forefathers put their trust in you. They trusted, and you delivered them.
They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame.
But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and despised by the people.
All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and wag their heads, saying,
He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he delights in him.
Yet you are he who took me out of the womb and kept me safe upon my mother's breast.
I have been entrusted to you ever since I was born. You were my God when I was still in my mother's womb.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help.
Many young bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their jaws at me like a ravening and a roaring lion.
I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is melting wax.
My mouth is dried out like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you have laid me in the dust of the grave.
Packs of dogs close me in, and gangs of evildoers circle around me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing.
Be not far away, O Lord. You are my strength. Hasten to help me.
Save me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, my wretched body from the horns of wild bulls.
I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. All you of Jacob's line give glory.
For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them.
My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him.
For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations.
To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. Here ends our psalm. Let us pray. Almighty God, We ask you to look with mercy on your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together the Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
The lesson for today is from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, beginning with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave and the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.
Our hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane, Lutheran Book of Worship, number 109. We'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Go to Dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one better hour. Turn not from his griefs away. Learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall. View the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall. Oh, the pangs his soul sustain. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn from him to bear the cross.
A reading of the Passion according to St. John, the 18th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them when Jesus said to them, "I am." They drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong, but if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him, bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Thus far the Passion narrative. We sing together hymn number, All Holy Jesus, hymn number 123.
Jesus, how hast thou offended that man to judge thee hath in hate pretended, by foes derided, by thine own rejected? Most afflicted. mighty, who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee. I crucified thee.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Thus far, our Passion reading. Please join with me now in singing hymn number 117, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," verses 1 and 2.
Sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. O sacred head, what glory, what bliss still now was thine! Yet though despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. How art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinners' gain.
Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he's made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. We sing together, "Go to Dark Gethsemane," verse number 3, hymn number 109.
Calvary's mournful mountain climb,
there adoring at his feet, mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry. Learn from Jesus Christ to die.
Since it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. The Passion of our Lord, according to St. John.
What's with the cross? It's Good Friday, and truth be told, Good Friday is all about the cross. The cross. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. The cross, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. We hear those words every time there's a baptism. But what does it mean to be sealed? And what does it mean to be marked? Well, to be sealed means that there is a word of guarantee placed upon us. The one who is responsible for the contents of what's inside the envelope seals it and guarantees its authenticity. And to be marked, well, that's to be branded. That's to be owned and to be claimed. And so God places upon us his seal and his mark. What's with the cross? The cross is everything. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Good Friday is all about the cross. All newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. What's with the cross? The cross is the insignia for the Christian faith. The cross is the insignia of our salvation. There is salvation only in the name of Jesus. Go back to John chapter 3. We all know it. In fact, the old rugged cross was based upon John 3:16. But right before those words, after Jesus has had a conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who believe in him may be saved." Just as the people in the wilderness who had sinned needed to look up to the serpent on the pole to receive forgiveness and to find their salvation, so also, in terms of our malady with sin, we need to look up to the cross, the glory of God, the death of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Good Friday is all about the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, what does it mean to be lifted up? Jesus is the King of the Jews. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and yet he's born in a stable. And when he receives his crown, when he is lifted up, he's on a cross. So his enthronement, his exaltation, is his execution. It's the death of Messiah Jesus on the cross when the Son of Man is lifted up. Later in John's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus will say, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." When the Son of Man is lifted up, Jesus says, he will then draw all people to himself. He will draw all people to himself. Now, I'm guessing you've heard bishops or you've heard pastors tell you, "Oh, that's universalism. That means everybody's going to be saved." Well, good luck with that. It's not biblical. Now, what does it mean if we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture when it says that when the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all people to himself? Well, according to John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. In my Father's house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's prepared, I'm going to come, and I'm going to take you so that where I am, there you may be also." And you know the way. You know the way where I'm going. And Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus does one of those ego eimi sayings, you know, the I am, the God of the burning bush from the book of Exodus. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, you probably noticed he didn't say, "I am a way, a truth, a life," as though there's lots of possibilities and lots of paths out there. No, he said, "I'm the exclusive path, the exclusive route." And if we read the entirety of John's Gospel, what do we know about the lifting up of the Son of Man? We know that he's the Savior of the world. We know that he's the Good Shepherd. What does the Good Shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep, and no one can snatch one of his lambs out of his hand. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. Salvation only in the name of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus uses the definite article, the. Not a, but the. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the only door by which sinners can be saved and the lost can be found, by which sheep can enter the sheepfold. What's with the cross? Good Friday is all about the cross. In fact, the Bible says, "Cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree." The tree they're talking about is the old rugged cross. St. Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, "God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me." And St. Paul also says, "He who is in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped.
He emptied himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, lifted him up, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. And those in heaven and those on earth and those who are in hell will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. And they will also have to acknowledge that he is King and Lord and Savior by bowing and taking a knee. That's what the scriptures say. That's what Good Friday is all about. There is only one path that God could, in fact, bring salvation to a fallen world. And it all goes back to the book of Genesis. Because in the beginning, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They didn't believe God. They fell out of grace. They were booted out of the garden. And there were consequences. But there was a promise. The seed of Adam and Eve, Messiah Jesus, will come one day. And when Messiah Jesus comes, the serpent seed will bite his heel. And the Son of Man, the Savior Jesus, he will stomp on the head of that serpent, and he will destroy sin and death and the devil forever. What's with the cross? The cross is the insignia of our salvation. Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Good Friday is all about the cross. Do you remember Genesis 22? Abraham and Sarah had the child of promise, Isaac. And one day the Lord said, take Isaac, your son, your only son, whom you love, up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, Mount Moriah is the same mountain that we call Calvary or Golgotha or the place of the skull. Take your son, your only son whom you love. Now, we know the rest of that story, that on that mountain, when the altar was prepared, there was a substitute. There was a lamb that was caught in a thicket. And 2,000 years later, the substitute, the sacrifice for our sin, Messiah Jesus, is crucified on Golgotha, Mount Moriah, the place of the skull, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the salvation of the world. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Jesus, through living faith in the name of Jesus Christ. What's with the cross? Well, I read a story recently. It was about a 20-year-old, and she was recounting the story of what had happened years earlier in her life. You see, when this little girl was just a baby, she was sound asleep in the crib, and she and her mother were living in a tenement house, and her mom thought, well, she's sound asleep. I'm just going to walk a couple blocks away to the grocery store, and I'm going to grab a couple of items. I'll be right back. Now, who would do that? Well, we're all sinners, aren't we? And then when she was in the grocery store picking up the items, she heard the siren of a fire engine. She ran out to look, and down the street she saw the smoke. She left her groceries. She ran home thinking, oh, please, God, not my house. It was her tenement house. It was in flames. And when she got there, she said, my baby, my little baby girl's up there in the crib. Please help. And the fire chief said, not possible. The house is engulfed in flames. It would be suicide for anyone to enter that house. There was a young fireman there. He said, I got a baby girl at home too. And if my baby girl was in that house, I'd like to know that there was somebody that would have the good courage to go in there and to get her. And so he went in there. He got that little baby girl. And he was at the window and he tossed her out into the net that was waiting there with the other firemen that they had there. And as soon as he had done that, the floor that he was standing on collapsed. And the entire house went down in flames and smoke. And he died. Well, 20 years later, this little baby girl is in a cemetery, and she's standing in front of a gravestone, and there is the statue of a fireman. Now, an older gentleman comes walking by, and he sees the tears coming down the cheeks of this 20-year-old. He said, "Was that your father?" She said, "No." "I bet it was your brother then." She said, "No. This is the man who died for me, who gave his life for me. What's with the cross?" Good Friday is all about the cross and the price that our Heavenly Father is willing to pay to save sinners. What's with the cross? Years ago in Central America, a pastor was watching a baptism. He hadn't seen a baptism like that before. Walking in was a procession of people. It was the parents, and they were carrying a small casket. When they got it to the front, they put it on a table, and then they filled that casket, that little coffin, with water. And then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they buried that baby into the dying and rising of Jesus. St. Paul says in Romans 6, "For as many of you as have been baptized in the death of Christ have also been buried into his resurrection, so that we might walk in newness of life every single day." It's the cross. It's the dying and rising of Jesus. Good Friday and Easter in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ is not simply one day out of the year. Dying and rising with Jesus is our daily walk with God. What's with the cross? The cross of Christ is our glory, the insignia of our salvation. Good Friday is all about the cross and God's eternal love for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our hymn number 92 in the Lutheran Book of Worship, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Sometimes it causes me to tremble.
tremble.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Our service continues with the bidding prayer. Each bid will be offered by our worship leader and followed by a silent prayer time. At the end of the silent praying, a prayer will be offered by our pastor. Each prayer will conclude with, "We ask this through Christ our Lord," to which the congregation responds, "Amen."
Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God, the Almighty Father, guard it, guide it, and gather it together so that we may worship him in peace and tranquility.
Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. Guide the work of the church. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your name, and bring salvation to people everywhere. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the North American Lutheran Church and Bishop Dan Selbo, for our pastor, David Stephenson, and other ministers, for all servants of the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold our pastors and our leaders. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church, and help each of us to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for those preparing for baptism, that God make them responsive to his love and give them new life in Jesus Christ.
Almighty and eternal God, you continually bless the church with new members. Increase the faith and understanding of those preparing for baptism. Give them a new birth as your children, and keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for all our brothers and sisters who share our faith in Jesus Christ, that God may gather and keep together in one church all those who know Christ as Lord.
Almighty and eternal God, you give your church its unity. Look with favor on all who follow Jesus, your Son. We are all consecrated to you by our baptism. Make us one in the fullness of faith, and keep us one in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the Jewish people, the first to hear the word of God, that they may receive the fulfillment of the covenant's promises.
Almighty and eternal God, long ago you gave your promise to Abraham and his posterity. Hear the prayers of your church, that the people you first made your own may arrive with us at the fullness of redemption. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way of salvation.
Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your people, to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of your Godhead, and so to become more perfect witnesses of your love in the sight of all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in God, that they may find him who is the author and goal of our existence.
Almighty and eternal God, you created humanity so that all might long to know you and have peace in you. Grant that in spite of the hurtful things that stand in their way, they may all recognize in the lives of Christians the tokens of your love and mercy, and gladly acknowledge you as the one true God and Father of us all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the champion of the poor and oppressed. In your goodness, watch over those in authority so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share in the goodness of your creation. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, free those unjustly deprived of liberty, and rid the world of falsehood, hunger, and disease.
Almighty and eternal God, you give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. Hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble, especially, O Lord, we pray, during this time of the COVID-19. We pray, O Lord, that those who are battling cancer and those who are facing pestilence and all kinds of plagues, we pray, Lord, that you would bring them the gift of healing and mercy, that you restore health to our people and to our land, and that all may have the joy of receiving your help in time of need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We sing together hymn number 104, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, verses 1 and 2.
In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of Christ o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Verses 3 and 4, hymn number 104, In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory.
When the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide.
We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.